All right, guys, how we doing tonight? Man, you guys must be tired from the milestones, huh? How are the milestones going? Are the milestones over? Are they over? Is it three more? All right, so that's where our crowd is tonight, man. You guys don't need to study for your test. You already know it all, right? Is that how it works? I hear you. Well, hey, we are super glad you guys are here. I want to welcome you guys. Thanks for coming tonight, especially if you are a brand new student. So if you have a yellow wristband, we just want to say a special welcome to those of you who are with us tonight. Man, we're glad that you came. We do have a little gift for you after the service, and we'd love to give that to you. So make sure you meet us back in the back. Now, tonight is week number two of a series that we're calling The Great Paradox. And what I want to do, what we're doing in this series, we're taking a look at some of the statements, right, that Jesus made that were counterintuitive, statements that didn't make a lot of sense because people that were around when he was around, they learned it one way, and Jesus kind of turned it upside down a bit, made a statement that didn't make a ton of sense to the people that he was talking to. So he said some different things. And remember from last week, if you were with us or if you weren't, when we look at these statements, which are called the Beatitudes, everybody say Beatitudes. Beatitudes. I like it. So when we look at these statements called the Beatitudes, right, we need to remember that the Beatitudes are not prescriptive statements. So they're not giving you a prescription for what you're supposed to do or necessarily how you're supposed to live. Rather than that, the Beatitudes are a description of who we are becoming as Christ followers. Now, if you're here tonight and you would say, man, I'm new to the church thing. I'm new to the, you know, I don't really know Christ. I don't really know what it means to be a Christian. You're in the right place. We're so glad you're here tonight. And I would love for you to come. You can come and talk to me. You can ask one of these leaders with these M12 shirts. We'd love to talk with you about what that means. But for those of you that follow Christ, right, that consider yourself a Christian, these are statements where Jesus is describing who you are because of what he did for you, right? Because of what he did for you. And here's the thing. Sometimes we read the Bible and we think, man, I don't know how in the world I'm supposed to live up to that. I don't know how in the world I'm supposed to do that. How do I even get to that place? And I want to free you up tonight because that's not the point of the Sermon on the Mount. That's not the point of the Beatitudes. So when Jesus was saying these things, right, he taught these things. They're not necessarily humanly possible to live up to. That's why we need him. That's why we need Jesus to help us to live the life that he wants us to live. I love the way that one of the theologians put it this way. He said, the Sermon on the Mount is not a goal to check off or live by, but a wall that we crash into so that we finally cry out, I can't do it. So as we're reading these statements tonight, as we're reading the Bible tonight, which if you want to grab the Bible that's below you or in front of you, I would love for you to go ahead and turn open to page number 1041. Page number 1041, that's where we're going to be tonight. But understand, the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, right? We cannot live this life, we cannot attain this measure of living on our own. It's impossible. We need Jesus to do that. We desperately need him. And so tonight, this is what I want to do. I want to look at one beatitude, just like we did last week. If you were with us, we looked at the beatitude. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And we talked about what does that mean? What does it mean to be poor in spirit? What is the kingdom of heaven versus the kingdom of earth? And so tonight, I want to read one more beatitude, and I want to break it down for us. Here it is in Matthew 5:7. Here it says, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Why don't we do this? Since it's so short, I want you guys to read it with me on the count of three. One, two, three. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. That's right. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Now, here's what I want to do. I want to give you a thought that I want to rally around tonight. I want us to think about what this thought means. I'm going to define it for you. So if you've got an outline and you want to take down these notes, it's the first blank. This is the bottom line of tonight. Here it is. Mercy comes from mercy. I want you to write that down. What does it mean? I'm going to tell you. Mercy comes from mercy. In other words, mercy, our mercy towards another person comes from God's mercy toward us. Our mercy for another person is determined by God's mercy toward us. Now, this is huge, right? Because maybe you're sitting there and you're thinking, well, what is mercy anyway? Mercy is very simply this. It is not getting something that you deserve. It's not getting what you deserve. It's not getting what I deserve. And so when we think about mercy, the ultimate example of mercy, the ultimate part in Scripture that will display mercy is what Jesus did for us. Jesus Christ, in his perfection, in his sinlessness, right? He died on the cross for you and for me. We did not deserve that. Ultimately, what did we deserve? Well, we deserved God's wrath. We deserved death. We deserved to go to the cross ourselves, right? But we did not have to do that. Why? Because of God's mercy on you and on me. We are both, and we were both, and we will always both be in desperate need of God's mercy. So God's mercy is giving us something that we, or not giving us something that we deserve. I want you to think about that. Mercy comes from mercy. Somebody said it like this. Jesus, I want you to think about this. Jesus lived the life that we could not live, and he died the death that we should have died. Jesus lived the life that we couldn't live, and he died the death that we couldn't die. Now, I want you to think about this. Now, for me, when I remember, there was a time in middle school, I was in the eighth grade. Where's my eighth grade at? Where's my eighth grade? Okay. So I was in the eighth grade, and I remember a time where mercy played itself out in my own life, where I was extended mercy, and I was very, very glad to be extended mercy. And no, this example has no comparison, just like no example has comparison to what Jesus did for us. But this just kind of opens your eyes a little bit to see kind of what I'm talking about. So I'm in eighth grade, and I'm in history class, and my history teacher is my soccer coach, Coach Weiss. So here's the thing about Coach Weiss is that he kind of, and maybe you guys can relate, but he kind of favored the athletes, all right? He favored his soccer players. And so a lot of times, man, he'd give me a homework pass. You know, I wouldn't have to do a lot of work. I mean, not that that's right, but it's just true. It's just what happened, right? He would just extend to me, oh, man, don't worry about turning your homework. It's all good as long as you score a goal, you know. And so that's not right, but that's the way it was. And so I remember a big test was coming up for my history class. And the thing about me is I am not a very good historian, okay? I fell asleep a lot in history, okay? Social studies is just not my deal. It's just not my cup of tea, okay? And so what happened is I began to panic because when tests come up, anybody with me, I stress out over tests, you know? I'm just not a good test taker. And so I remember a couple weeks before this happened, I was watching one of my favorite TV shows, Saved by the Bell. Anybody ever seen Saved by the Bell? All right. Kelly Kapowski? Okay. All right. So here's the thing about Saved by the Bell is that Zach is like the main character in the show. And so he's got a test coming up, and he decides, man, he's going to write all of the answers from the book on the bottom of his tennis shoes, right? On the bottom of his tennis shoes. And so fast forward to the episode, he's in the class, man, he's like writing down everything. He's being real sneaky about it. Doesn't get caught. Then the next day, right, finds out, man, he aces this test, A+. He's wearing the same tennis shoes, and so what happens? He gets really excited, so he's sitting on his desk, and he does one of these guys. And he just like, yeah, I passed the test. I didn't just pass the test. I got an A plus. And what happens? The teacher sees the bottom of his tennis shoes, hence all the answers to the test. And we're talking like paragraphs, like, don't do this. Don't put the answers on the bottom of your shoe. You will get caught, right? But even though I saw what happened to Zach Morris, I saw that he had a failing grade in the class or on the test, right? I just decided that I would give it a shot in the eighth grade, okay? So I go home one night and I get out my history book, man, and I'm just writing the answers. I can't believe I did this. This is crazy. Don't do this. Don't cheat. It is a bad thing, okay? But I did this in eighth grade. How many of you ever cheated on tests? Be honest. Thank you for your honesty. All right. So put all the answers on my tennis shoes. And so I'm sitting in the history class. Stay with me. Sitting in history class. Man, one after another, dude, like I am getting this. Every answer I like are on the bottom of my shoes. I'm feeling good about this, right? And the problem is that I wasn't quite as sneaky as Zach Morris was, and I got caught. I got caught. The coach, he didn't do anything. He just took up my paper. And this was first class, right? To make matters worse, my mom was on staff at the school. So all day long, man, I'm just wondering, like, is he going to go tell her, or is he going to fail me, or what is going to happen? Oh, my goodness, this is terrible. I'm an idiot. Why would I do this? Zach Morris got caught. How did I think I wouldn't get caught, right? And literally, he let me go through the entire day of school. This was torture. The entire day of school, all the way through soccer practice. And before I got picked up, Coach Weiss came by me and he said, Stephen, he said, I want you to know that I'm really disappointed in what you did. But I was in middle school one time too. And even though you cheated in a really dumb way, I mean, I'm going to give you another chance. I'm going to let you come in the morning. I'm going to let you retake the test. And just so you know, it will be a different version of the test. And so I was like, thank the Lord. And so I ended up going the next morning, and I got a B+. So it wasn't a failing grade. Now, I tell you that story because I did not deserve that gift. I deserved to fail the test. That's what I ultimately deserved because I cheated. But Coach Weiss decided to extend mercy to me. He gave me something that I did not deserve, or he didn't give me something that I truly did deserve. See, mercy comes from mercy. And students, the reality is while that's a very lame example, the truth is that when we understand the weight of what Jesus Christ did for us, when we understand the mercy that he extended to us, not because of anything that we did, right? But because of what he did for us, the hope is that it would change our perspective on showing mercy to other people. And so what I want to do tonight is I want to tell you a story in the Bible and read a story in the Bible, and I want to show you a movie clip from one of my favorite movies to help you understand better what mercy is all about. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to read on page number 1041. Page 1041. Page 1040. It's the parable of the Good Samaritan. So read it with me, just in your mind. Page number 1040, verse 25. Here's what it says. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to Jesus. He said, Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied, How do you read it? Well, he answered, Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this, and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, and so he asked Jesus, Who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? Now, let's get the context of what's happening in the story. First off, a lawyer which we would say a lawyer is a pretty smart guy or girl, right? Lawyers, they have to go to law school. Same thing back in this day. The lawyer approached Jesus and he asked him a question that he already knew the answer to. Because as a lawyer, you would know the law. You would know what was written. And so he asked him a question that he already knew. And Jesus told him the answer that he already knew, right? But then on the flip side, on the end of that, he said, well, who is my neighbor? What does it look like to have a neighbor? And so it's through this story that I think we can learn a little bit more about what mercy actually looks like, how mercy actually plays out in your life, in my life. And remember, mercy comes from mercy. Mercy comes from mercy. So here's what I want to do. I want to read the next part, verse 30. It says, in reply, Jesus said, and he's answering the question, who is my neighbor? So in reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. So what happens is, picture this in the Bible. So we've got a man who has been beaten almost to death. So this is a very bad day for this guy, right? So he's probably bleeding everywhere. Maybe he has some broken limbs. I mean, he's struggling, right? And he's just laying on the side of the road. Now, what you have to understand is that in this story, two guys that were very prominent, important, respected people were mentioned in the story, the Levite and the priest, right? And what happens is the Levite and the priest, they see the man, right, lying on the side of the road, half dead, right? And what does the Bible say? It says literally they passed by to the other side, one by one. The Levite passed by to the other side. The priest passed by to the other side. So these guys that were really respected, looked up to, everybody goes to them for the answers, they failed the mercy test. Now, when I think about this and I think about you guys, something that I think about is I ask the question, how many times, I want you to think about it, how many times do you pass by people that are hurting? In your school, maybe in your own home, maybe on your sports team. How often do you kind of act as if you are like the priest and the Levite? Where you see someone hurting, you see someone they are in need of something, but you just simply pass by. And here's what happened. The priest and Levite, they just kind of did one of these where I don't really see a half dead man over there. I'm just going to keep walking. I didn't really see that. And oftentimes we do the same thing. Let me give you an example. How about the subject of bullying? Because a lot of times, here's what happens. Now, if you're in the room tonight and you are a person that bullies other people, then you need to stop doing that. Because that's not the way that you would want to be treated. The Bible is very clear. It says, treat others the way you would want to be treated. If you are all about making fun of people, bullying people, pushing them around because they're smaller than you, because they're not as popular than you, or because they're not as good as you are, or you seem to think they're not, that's ridiculous. But what I want to talk to is I want to talk to the person in the room that watches it happen. Because a lot of you, maybe you don't experience being bullied, but you watch people who are being bullied all the time. And the reality is the same thing happened in this story. The man who was beaten half dead, let's just say he was bullied. He was robbed. Everything that he had was taken from him, right? Now, hopefully you guys never witnessed somebody who's half dead. That would be bad, right? But you do witness people who are in need. You witness classmates who are in need. Some of you, you even witness students in this ministry who at times are in need. And the truth is a lot of times we just ignore it. We just pass it to the side. I'm with you because I do that too sometimes. But Jesus was answering the question, who is your neighbor? And he tells the story and he says, the priest and the Levite avoided him, but something different happens. And these are the things that I think we can pull from this passage. Three quick things, and then we're going to watch a quick clip and be finished. The Bible says this, but a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. First thing that we can pull from this passage is simply this. Mercy plays out when you and I choose to see the need. Where we simply see the need. It's the next blank on your outline. See the need. The first thing to having an attitude of mercy is simply opening up your eyes. Because the reality is, just like the story, there are people who are hurting. Maybe they're physically hurting, emotionally hurting, mentally hurting. And the Bible says that we are to treat those, we are to treat our people the way we would want to be treated. So if you were in need, wouldn't you want someone, instead of ignoring your need, wouldn't you want them to ask you, hey, how are you, man? You doing okay? Is there anything I can do for you? See, the Samaritan chose to see the need. Secondly, let's keep reading. It says, he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. And then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Secondly, the way that mercy plays out, one, it's see the need. Second, it is lending a hand. Simply lend a hand to the person who is hurting. See, the Samaritan saw the man, but that wasn't enough. If he would have just saw the man and then kept walking, then he would have been just like the priest and just like the Levite, right? But he saw the man, and then he went to the man, he bandaged up his wounds, he poured oil and wine on them, and then he put him on his horse and took him to an inn. See, the Samaritan actually chose to do something. Students, some of you just need to be told to do something. To do something for those that are less fortunate than you are. And I'm staying in the camp of bullying. That's where I'm staying. Please, for the love of God, stop watching that stuff happen at your schools. And I understand that you have to risk your reputation. You have to risk maybe your popularity. You might have to risk maybe being in the cool crowd, because maybe sometimes the cool crowd is the people that bullies others. Did you know in the story, the Samaritan was in a place in town where literally his life was in danger. He was in a place where if the right people would have found him, they would have killed him. Do you not think that was in the back of his mind? He's thinking, well, I really want to help this guy, but if I stop and help this guy, I can't keep going to my journey, and if somebody finds me here, they're going to kill me. The last time I checked, you helping someone who's being bullied, you're not in danger of dying. You might be in danger of being bullied yourself. You might be in danger of being made fun of. Who cares? The Good Samaritan was in danger of his life, and he still helped. He still helped. Third thing is this. Let's read on. It says, the next day he took out 2 denarii, some money, gave them to the innkeeper, and he said, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay when you come back. So number one, we see the need. This is mercy playing out. You're going to talk about this in your small groups. Number one, we see the need. Number two, we lend a hand. And number three, we go the extra mile. Number three, we go the extra mile. See, the Samaritan, not only did he see him, he went and helped him. He put him on his own horse. He bandaged up his wounds. He cared for him. He probably gave him food, probably gave him water, took him to an inn, a hotel, left him there and told the innkeeper and said, listen, hey, if you got to spend more money, if this guy needs to stay a few extra days, then just know I'll be coming back through town in a couple days, and I will pay you for every night that he has to stay in this place. See, the Good Samaritan went the extra mile. In my opinion, probably in yours, the Good Samaritan had already probably done enough, but he promised to pay any extra expense. Students, it is imperative that you look for people who are in need. It is imperative that you open your eyes to see the needs of people around you. It's imperative that you begin to lend a hand to those who need your help. Because the truth is, some of you have the ability to help someone else, especially when it comes to being bullied. And for those of you that have walked that road of being bullied, man, I am so sorry that you've faced that. I'm so sorry that people have treated you in that way. That's definitely not what God wants for you. And I pray that it comes to an end. But for those of you that watch it happen, mercy comes from mercy. Think about what Jesus did for you and let that be your motivation to do for someone else. Now, there's a movie that I want to show you a visual of how this plays out. I think it's one of the best movies that's ever been made. It's called The Sandlot. And all that you need to know about this movie is there's this new kid, goes by the nickname Smalls. This new kid moves into a neighborhood. He's brand new. He doesn't have any friends. Nobody knows him. He doesn't know anybody. He is a lousy baseball player. But the best baseball player in the neighborhood comes and reaches out, sees him, lends a hand, goes the extra mile. So I want you to take a look at this clip, and then I'll come back and close this out. Cool. Yeah. It's a good movie. Hey, so listen, before we go to our small groups, let me remind you of a couple things. Mercy comes from mercy. I want you to remember that tonight. Mercy comes from mercy. You're going to talk about it in your groups. Remember, mercy played out. See the need. Lend a hand. Go the extra mile. All right, let's pray. God, thanks so much for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for teaching us. God, you're good. We love you so much. We thank you. And we just pray that as we go to groups, that you would continue to help us learn and teach us, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.